We started a sermon series several weeks ago called Become More in 24. And so those who are joining us, whether you're online or you're here for the first time, I want to do a little recap so you can be pulled in and understand the context of our sermon. So we're studying out from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter was one of Jesus's best friends, one of his top leaders in the church moving forward in the first century. And we're studying out this passage of scripture that has been coined by some the ladder of faith or the ladder of transformation, in which we're called to add to our faith these attributes so that we can become more like God. Because, see, God wants us to become more like Him in our character and our nature, the way we think, the way we operate, and how we behave in our daily lives. And it says in the scripture that God has given us everything we need for a godly life, but He says you have a role and responsibility in this, and that's to make every effort to add to your faith. And so we've been studying this out, and we've seen how when God's empowerment intersects with human effort, transformation takes place. Not just a little bit of behavior modification, but transformation of who we are. And so we've looked at so far how we can, we've been called in the scriptures here to add goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and godliness. You know, perseverance looked correct before it went on the screen. Not sure how that happens. You know, there's some demons in technology. You know what I'm saying? We got to exercise those demons every now and then. We'll do that one day. Amen. But we're looking at that, and today we're going to look at what is said in the NIV, mutual affection. It's just all over. Those demons just are in play here. Amen. We are not bootleg, but somehow today we're bootleg. But don't worry, that's not God's standards. Amen. So let's go ahead. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the chance to know the simple gospel. Thank you, God, that we know that you not only sing over us, but God, you watch over us. And Father, we have a chance to know this grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for him being the atoning sacrifice so that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you for the promise that we see in the resurrection, giving us hope not only for this life, but in the life to come. God, we thank you for the family of believers that we have here in Orange County. Thank you for the many years of friendship and service that is founded in and rooted in Jesus. And God, right now we ask, Father, for your guidance to allow us to hear your message. Father, put to the side any distraction so that we may not only hear, we may not only take in, but Father, we will be changed going forward. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to look over here at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting off in verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection. We'll stop right there. Again, a reminder that this is not, even though it's called the ladder of faith, we're not climbing up the stages. Once I reach a place in godliness, now I can go after adding mutual affection. This, again, is like baking or cooking, where you add the ingredients so that it can become something tasty. And so it says here, mutual affection. And so this word, mutual affection, we have to remind ourselves that the Bible was written originally in Greek, and so it's translated into our English language. And this word for mutual affection is this word right here, and that looks like Philadelphia, doesn't it? But I looked, and it's actually, let me see this, Philadelphia, something like that. But for the sake of you and me, we're going to say Philadelphia, okay? Because that is where the city gets its name from. So let me ask you this. What do you think this word means? Brotherly love. Yes, you are correct. Hence, Philadelphia is known as what? The city of brotherly love. And so that's what this word means right here. It means fraternal affection, brotherly love or kindness, love of the brethren. And so we see here, this is what we are called to add to our faith. This brotherly love, this mutual affection, this brotherly kindness to our faith, this care and concern for each other. It's that love for the family, that love for the family type. I was explaining to somebody the other day. I said, in my culture, we have people that are aunts and uncles and cousins who really technically aren't aunts and uncles and cousins. Do you get what I'm saying? But they're just like that to us. And so this call to add is to have that to our faith. And you know, this scripture, this word, Philadelphia, is used four other times in the New Testament, and I want us to look at it because it's going to help us to understand what this should look like in our lives and how we can add it. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Let's continue. It says here in Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love, Philadelphia. Honor one another above yourselves. Now about your love, Philadelphia, for one another, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Hebrews 13, verse 1, keep on loving, Philadelphia, one another as brothers and sisters. Then in 1 Peter 1, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love, Philadelphia, for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Now it's interesting. Every time it's translated to what? Love. So really in 2 Peter, you can translate it to love, but then there's love at the end, and we'll talk about it. There's a couple words here that differentiate the different types of love. But this idea of love, and it's interesting, every time it's mentioned here, it's talking about this sincere love, this brothers and sisters love, and so the term really expressed for the early Christians, for the first century Christians, that the church is a family and the members of the church are brothers and sisters. And so we are familiar with this, but this is where we come up with the term, say, what's up, bro? Hey, sis, in the church. It's because at the beginning, when Jesus established the church understood we should have Philadelphia up in here, up in here. That we should have mutual affection, a brotherly love for the person to my right and to my left. And so what does this mutual affection look like for a disciple of Jesus? Well, it's close spiritual relationships. It's relationships that are rooted in and based on the love of Christ and the love for Christ. And I'm going to say something here that may be controversial for some. And here's what love really is talking about here when we talk about mutual affection or Philadelphia. It's this idea and this attitude of family, not just community. Some of you are saying, well, why is that maybe controversial? Because in the Christian circles for the last several years, the idea is our faith we are to do in community. And that's the trendy term. In many ways, that is accurate. But the scriptures don't call us to a faith in which we have just a community. It calls us to a faith where we have spiritual family. Think about this for a second. Or at least for me. You know, my complex where we live, there's a community there. There's commonalities. We have some similar desires. But it's not family. My kid's school, McPherson Magnet School. Love the school. K through 8. It's an awesome school. We have some similar interests. We have some similar values. We want everybody in the school to do well. We want the school to do well so our kids will do well. But it's not family. You get what I'm saying? And so we can come up with a lot of communities. I think of, you know, sports teams, and, you know, we have March Madness that's about to come, and it's about to happen. And so many of us are going to be cheering for teams, our local schools. I don't know if Cal State Fullerton's going to make it, but they did prior. Amen. And so when that happens, people are fired up. Why? Because the community's excited. Yes, let's root our team on. But it's not family. You see, the scriptures call us not to just community, but to family. We'll review each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. How you do affects me. How I do affects you. But in the community, we don't necessarily have that, do we? You can have all kinds of stuff going on as long as it doesn't cross any of my boundaries. But in the church, how you do affects me because I care for you. Why? Because you're my family. I care how my family does. If my family's not doing well, I want to do something to provide some help and encouragement. Brothers and sisters, are you with me here? So let's talk about real quickly what takes away from adding or having mutual affection from our faith. And there's a number of things here, but I just wanted to highlight two. And the first is this idea of a limited view of church family. A limited view of church family and church relationships. This prevents us, it takes away from us having, nevertheless, even being able to add Philadelphia into our faith. It's this idea of really relationships. It's kind of an ideal world, but it's not truly essential or important. It's this idea that you and I are church friends. That Justice and I, that yes, we go to church together. That Twan and I, we know each other from church. And that's our relationship. That's a limited view of church family and relationships. And I used to have this growing up. I grew up going to a certain church and certain denomination, and we walked in and we felt like, yeah, we all went to the same church, but if we didn't have relationships that resemble Philadelphia, are you with me? And so when I came into this context and I was like, whoa, people know each other? They actually talk afterwards? And they're not talking about each other in a negative way? Like, what she got on today? Girl, did you see that? You get what I'm saying? I was floored and I was in awe and I saw something different. And many of you saw the same. But you see, God's people are valuable and indispensable. Every single one of us is valuable to the church and indispensable. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Brothers and sisters, are you with me here? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, many of us are very familiar with this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes this letter, and he's trying to help the church to understand some things. And one of the things he hits on is the church is like, it's like a body. And just like a body has many parts, they have different functions, it makes one body. And so he goes on and he says this in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. We jump down. It says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Scriptures are clear. We need each other. I need Gene, and Gene, you need me. We need each other. We need to be there for one another. Why? Because we are family. You can even bust out that song. We are family. You know what I'm saying? We can play that every Sunday service. Because that's who we are, and that's what the scriptures call us to. I think the other thing that stops us is selfishness. Selfishness is a me attitude. It's thinking about me over everybody else. Hence greed, pride, lies, destruction, whatever you want to call it. But it starts with selfishness, and this takes away from mutual affection. It's not wanting to give or to serve. I'm just going to receive. What's the church doing for me? And then that language starts to happen. The church. Not my church, not our church, the church. And you come in, you're expecting to receive, but not expecting to give and to pour out. It's sitting there going, well, everybody's serving, but I'm not going to serve because I don't feel like it. I'm not going to engage in relationships because maybe we don't have similar sport interests, or we don't like the same type of food, whatever it may be. You see, these things take away from the brotherhood, the sisterhood, from achieving Philadelphia mutual affection. And therefore, we look like an organization that just has similar interests and similar values, as opposed to looking like the body of Christ. And so how can we overcome this? Or better yet, how can we continue to add to our, not just individual faith, but our collective faith, mutual affection? And so I put down a couple of things here. How we can add, number one, is prayer. We always have to baptize everything in prayer. If you and I want to grow in anything, it doesn't take just self-grit and determination. It takes our human effort combined with God's empowerment meeting together so that transformation and growth can take place. And the only way that happens is initial call to God, the things he's given us to empower us to be able to actually execute. So we have to go to God in prayer, and not just in this virtue, but with all the things that we've looked at over the last several weeks. But here's one that I want to touch on for a couple more minutes, is to adopt Jesus's view. If we're going to add to our faith mutual affection, we have to adopt our Savior and our leader's view of church family and church relationships. So let's look at one in Mark chapter 3. Jesus is teaching. He's got his followers, his apostles, and other disciples that are with him. And his family, his physical family, is outside, and they want to see Jesus. And here's what it says, what happened here in Mark chapter 3 and verse 34. It says, then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and mother. You see, Jesus made it clear. He wasn't dogging or dissing his family, but he's establishing for the church that he is establishing, hey, this right here, this room, this is our family. And the blood of Jesus is thicker than any other water or other blood you and I can have a partake in. He's saying, this is not your church friend. This is not the sister you, this is not the girlfriend that you go to church with. That is your sister in Christ, and that is your brother in Christ. And that's how you view them. And anything else is not of God. We have to adopt his view. You know, I want to share this. Can we have a moment of just honesty? Can we? Some of y'all like, no, but you got overruled. One of the trademarks of our particular fellowship has been love. You know, we used to actually even be criticized. You know, the song says, criticize us and we go strong, right? We used to be criticized sometimes for the love that we have. People would say, oh, they're love bombing. Love bombing is wrong? You want me to hate bomb? That's not good. You want me to care, Bob? No, I want to love people. And our fellowship was a distinguishing mark. One of it was our love for each other. And it wasn't words. It was service. It was sacrifice. It was involved in each other's lives. We knew each other. We were involved in each other's lives. So when I came to service, I could tell these people really do life together. And I believe that is still one of our strengths as a fellowship. I truly believe that. But those of us who've been around for a while, we know there is a difference between today and yesterday. Can we call a spade a spade? And for those of you who have entered over the years where this trademark has gotten a little dimmer, I am so sorry. I feel so bad that you have not experienced it the way it should be. You say, well, Marcel, I feel loved. You should, because again, this is still a strength of ours. But I think we're lacking a little bit in the mutual affection. Let's just do this. Let's even think about how we're seated today. Or what was your thought process when you walked in through the doors? What were you thinking? Let me find my seat where my butt imprint is in there. And let me sit down and let me get ready to worship. What does that reveal? Who are we thinking about? Self. Instead of, where are my brothers and sisters? Who can I go encourage? In fact, I don't know that person. Hey, let me go say something to them. That's mutual affection. Because I don't view just those who I'm close to as my brothers and sisters. I view everybody up in here, my brothers and sisters. And if you weren't a part of the fellowship, then man, I just made a new friend. You can say, well, there's different reasons. Okay, well, you're missing my point then. But let's also think about this. When we first moved here, man, it was 9 years ago. We're coming up on 9 years since we moved here. And one of the things that was told to us is, hey, you know, Orange County, many great strengths. People have relationships that go back years, really strong relationships. But sometimes people who move in have a hard time really connecting. Because those who have great relationships, it's not like they're unloving, but because of their relationships, they don't extend and reach out and pull those new members in. And so I heard that and I thought, oh, okay. Our role is a little different, so we probably didn't have the same experience. But now for the last 9 years, I've had a number of people express that to us. Hey, we move in and we can tell people have relationships, but we have a hard time getting pulled into these relationships. And I know it's not because people are mean, they don't love, but they're focused in on those that they've had relationships with, but unfortunately leave those out. And some of you have expressed that. So again, we just want to call a spade a spade. And say, you know what, we have this, but it's not what it used to be. But God's calling us to always add. So even what we once had, God wants us to take it even higher. And I believe that God is going to inspire you and me to take it higher from this day going forward. That we can surpass, but more than that, we will surpass whatever great love we had before. We will have it even to a greater degree because we'll be adding to our faith, Philadelphia mutual affection. Brothers and sisters, are you with me here? So even before you leave here today, don't you dare just walk up, grab your stuff, and just think to yourself. You better say something to your brother and sister right next to you, amen? The Lord is watching you. I wanted to quickly hit on this. Be involved. We have to be involved with the church family. We have to be involved with our family groups. We need to be involved in the campus ministry. We need to be involved in relationships. In order for me to be involved, that implies something. What does that imply? That you show up. I can't be involved if I don't show up. You with me here? I can't play in the game if I don't show up to the game. Do you get the simple logic here? Like the simple gospel is the simple logic here. We have to be involved. That means we have to show up because I can't add, I can't experience and I can't grow in brotherly love when I'm isolated. when I'm at home. And really at home, not for a good reason, but just because of out of convenience. I can't be involved. So how can I grow, add to the mutual affection and the fellowship? It's impossible. We have to be involved in each other relationally. We have to be connected. We have to know what's going on and share what's going on in our lives. You know, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And then after showing up, we engage in service to one another. We engage in being there for one another. Why? Because you and me, we're not a community, we're a family. Amen. And a family engages. A family shows up and a family is involved. Can I get an amen? Amen. How will this affect our lives and others? What are some of the benefits of adding mutual affection? Well, one, we fulfill God's will. You know, the Father wants his children to be involved in each other's lives. The Father wants us to have relationships and help one another. Many, many, many scriptures on this. The Father wants his kids to be close. I know for me, that's one of my two greatest desires for my family. One, I want my children to live, to become, live, and die faithful disciples of Jesus. That's been my prayer before they were born and will continue to be my prayer. That's what I want. And second is for them to be close. I don't want my kids to grow up and as soon as mom and dad die, that they go their different ways and never connect. You guys get what I'm saying here? I want them to be close. And so when they argue, boy, oh boy, that makes me struggle. One, it's annoying, but man, I'm like, man, I didn't have y'all so y'all can fight. I didn't have you so you can separate. I wanted you to be together. And so when you and I add mutual affection, we fulfill God's will and desire. Secondly, we become more like Jesus because we're participating in the divine nature. We take his view, therefore it becomes our character and our lives, resembling our Lord and Savior. And then third, better relationships. When we have mutual affection for another, we care, we're concerned, but then we serve one another. Deeds and actions follow. And then, just like with every family, when there's times of some bumps, some disagreements, some tension, because we're spiritual family, because we have mutual affection for one another, we're going to work at getting that resolved. Again, in the community, you can stay on your part of the community, and I'll stay on mine, and we're cool. But in the church family, that can't take place. If there's issues, we got to get it resolved. We need the Spirit to guide us. We need the Scriptures to guide us. And many times, we need brothers and sisters in our lives to help guide us and serve as mediators. So our relationships improve. And again, this mutual affection, yes, it should be beyond our circle of the church. But the scripture isn't talking about our mutual affection for those outside the church. That'll be next week included in that. But it's about those within the church. And so make sure to heed that this idea of adding is for you and me and our relationship and views of each other. And so what's the call for the hour? What's the response to God's word? Again, it's the same today as it was when we first started and even going forward. It's to make every effort, to add to our faith. I read this quote and I thought it was so good that I wanted to share it with you guys. And it says this right here. It says, "We do not grow in Christ by sitting back and waiting for God to do it for us. He demands an intense work ethic, where we put every ounce of energy we possess into our Christian walk. Most of us today work very hard at our secular jobs, athletics, or school, sacrificing greatly to be successful. Does God deserve any less?" Again, if we're going to grow and be transformed, it says to make every effort. So half-stepping won't get it done. No effort to little effort won't get it done. Our God who sacrificed his son, our God who has redeemed us, our God who showers us with love, deserves our very, very best when it comes to our Christian walk. And so the idea that I don't have enough time or I can't, that's nonsense, and we should have a no excuse mentality and give our very best to the God who gave us his very best. And so if you're not making every effort up until this point, brothers and sisters, today you can make every effort going forward. And even when you fail, you make every effort to get back up and do what's right going forward. It's not about perfection. It's about giving our very best to our God and Savior. Amen. Let's get real practical here for the week. Action steps here for the week here. First up here, please pray for our church to grow in mutual affection. This is not a they prayer or a them. This is a us and we prayer. God, help us grow in this. Help us. May we add to our faith. You guys with me here? Don't get to finger point. Yeah, help them over there. They don't be, you know, none of that. God, help us to grow. And then secondly, have you guys seen those random acts of kindness commercials? Honda does those, right? Those random acts of kindness. Okay, here we go. So here's what it is. I want you to do a random act of mutual affection this week for someone in our fellowship. Now you say, oh, let me do a random act for my wife or my mother. No, that doesn't count. You need to be doing that anyway. Okay. This random act for somebody maybe in your ministry, in the campus ministry, or in your family group, or maybe outside in the church, do a random act of mutual affection. Well, what should that be, Marcel? Pray about it. Got to give you some direction. Let's not just talk about this, brothers and sisters. Let's put this into practice this week going forward. Amen? You know, God wants us to experience his divine nature and become like him in our nature and our character. God has given us everything we need for a godly life, our responsibility to make every effort to add to our faith. When it comes to mutual affection, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, let's adopt Jesus' view of church family and relationships. That we're more a spiritual family than a community. And then let's be involved in the church, and in our church relationships. We'll close out here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Brothers and sisters, I pray we become more in 24. Amen.